VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Another Iran update is going to take place. And in just a couple moments, we're going to be airing the full speech that President Trump gave this morning on the topic of Iran. If you missed it, you do need to hear what he had to say. Last night, and here I quote from the Daily Signal, Iran lobbed more than a dozen ballistic missiles at U.S. military forces in Iraq, mostly at a remote base, the Defense Department said last night. Iran just conducted a massive fireworks demonstration in the desert, attacking Iraqi soil. That's unbelievably reckless and provocative, said Jim Carafano, the Heritage Foundation vice president. He told Fox News channel Laura Ingraham last night. The president tweeted out last night at about 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that he would have more to say Wednesday morning, which we'll be airing that here momentarily. But he sent out in his tweet, all is well. Missiles launched from Iran at two military bases located in Iraq. Assessment of casualties and damages taking place now, the president wrote. So far, so good. We have the most powerful and well-equipped military anywhere in the world by far. I'll be making a statement tomorrow morning. Well, tomorrow morning was now this morning, and President Donald Trump took to the podium at the White House today to make his statement. A very interesting aspect to all of this. Nancy Pelosi, she had some tweets going out last night. We're going to get the president's speech in first, and then we're going to be sharing with you some of the auxiliary stories surrounding this very matter. Here, let's go to President Donald Trump as he made this address this morning.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. For far too long, all the way back to 1979 to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region. He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims. Soleimani directed the recent attacks on U.S. personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American, and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In recent days, he was planning new attacks on American targets, but we stopped him. Soleimani's hands were drenched in both American and Iranian blood. He should have been terminated long ago. By removing Soleimani, we have sent a powerful message to terrorists. If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters, fired an unprovoked strike on Saudi Arabia, and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. Then Iran went on a terror spree, funded by the money from the deal, and created hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear and quick path to nuclear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, and war. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. It will not be allowed to go forward. Today, I am going to ask NATO to become much more involved in the Middle East process. Over the last 3 years, under my leadership, our economy is stronger than ever before, and America has achieved energy independence. These historic accomplishments change our strategic priorities. These are accomplishments that nobody thought were possible. And options in the Middle East became available. We are now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. We are independent, and we do not need Middle East oil. The American military has been completely rebuilt under my administration at a cost of $2.5 trillion. U.S. armed forces are stronger than ever before. Our missiles are big, powerful, accurate, lethal, and fast. Under construction are many hypersonic missiles. The fact that we have this great military and equipment, however, does not mean we have to use it. We do not want to use it. American strength, both military and economic, is the best deterrent. 3 months ago, after destroying 100% of ISIS and its territorial caliphate, we killed the savage leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, who was responsible for so much death, including the mass beheadings of Christians, Muslims, and all who stood in his way. He was a monster. Al-Baghdadi was trying again to rebuild the ISIS caliphate and failed. Tens of thousands of ISIS fighters have been killed or captured during my administration. ISIS is a natural enemy of Iran. The destruction of ISIS is good for Iran, and we should work together on this and other shared priorities. Finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. I want to thank you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was President Donald Trump this morning as he spoke from the White House pertaining to Iran. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has called this airstrike provocative and disproportionate. She said the House will vote on a resolution under the War Powers Act to stop Trump from acting against Iran after 30 days unless Congress authorizes further military operations. Coming to us from Western Journal, Nancy Pelosi yesterday responded to Iran's missile attacks on military bases in Iraq, blaming the Trump administration, even as U.S. officials were uncertain of the damage that was done by the roughly 15 missiles that slammed into the two bases housing the U.S. personnel. Pelosi was tweeting her criticism of the president while this is unfolding here, folks. And she sent out closely monitoring the situation following bombings targeting U.S. troops in Iraq. She tweeted, "We must ensure the safety of our service members, including ending needless provocations from the administration and demanding that Iran cease its violence. American world cannot afford war." She said that the tweet irked Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who said Wednesday on Fox and Friends that Tuesday was the wrong time to play politics. You know, at the time when Americans are having missiles raining down on them, we should actually rally around the flag. This is plenty of time. There's plenty of time for politics. We have a whole year until the election, Kinzinger said. Folks, again, as we recall, this man has done many, many, many dastardly deeds, calling for the death of multiple individuals. Ilhan Omar took to Twitter to express her outrage toward President Trump, hinting that he ordered the violently explosive drone strike on Iranian terror leader Qassem Soleimani in the hopes that a war would result, a conflict that would serve as a distraction from the ongoing impeachment. She says, "So what if Trump wants war? No, knows this leads to war and needs the distraction? Real question is, will those with congressional authority step in and stop him? I know I will." We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have you ever seen that bumper sticker of a fish with legs? What's that all about?
Chris, that bumper sticker is a direct insult to Christians and the God of Christianity. It's a perversion of the Christian symbol of the fish, which has been in place ever since the early church days. It's interesting to note that this has almost become a religious symbol with evolution. We've been saying for a long time that evolution is a religion, and now they have their religious symbol. Chris, they have to have symbols because they really just don't have any evidence that evolution has occurred. Evolution is not a science. It's the religion of naturalism, the idea that there is no supernatural God behind it all. At least that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and an update here on Iran. We just heard from President Donald Trump, who made that address this morning from the White House. And folks, as we continue to look at the reaction over these past few days as to what has unfolded, keep in mind that is Nancy Pelosi that appointed Ilhan Omar to the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And here's what she tweeted out. What was this, yesterday? Saying, quote, January 6th, Trump needs to immediately divest from his businesses, and went on to say, Iran could threaten Trump hotels worldwide and he could provoke war over the loss of revenue from skittish guests. His business interests should not be driving military decisions. I mean, some of the accusations here are just over the top. And folks, there's more to come. There is more to come. For instance, Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington sent out a tweet on last evening calling for people to join street demonstrations tomorrow, Thursday, that MoveOn.org is promoting. Her tweet was then retweeted by Rashida Tlaib. We need everyone in the streets. The actual tweet says, we need everyone in the streets. Trump has put us in this position with his military brinkmanship. We must de-escalate immediately, protect American lives, and move to diplomacy, not war. This is a critical time for the American people to be heard. And what you heard from President Trump here, it is peace through strength. That's the doctrine that we had from former President Ronald Reagan. Bernie Sanders said killing Soleimani is a dangerous escalation that brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East. Former Vice President Joe Biden wrote, President Trump just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. Elizabeth Warren, but this reckless move, that's referring to killing Soleimani, escalates the situation with Iran and increases the likelihood of more deaths and new Middle East conflict. Our priority must be avoid another costly war. And that's something you heard from President Trump. He does not want to go to war. He is not looking forward for this to take place. But saying we must stand up and not be have a jellyfish backbone when we are threatened by other nations. Adam Schiff, he's the one who has brought about the so-called impeachment, the fast-track impeachment against President Trump. He is now calling for open hearings on the president's actions regarding Iran. Another day of hearings to take place before the Intelligence Committee is what is in the works. Folks, it's outrageous to see some of the response going on. And as you also heard President Trump referring to the missiles that were fired at U.S. interests last evening were paid for by the Obama administration. Well, your tax dollars, I should say. Senator Ted Cruz said he appreciates President Trump for following the principles of peace through strength when it comes to Iran. And he called it, and I'm looking at CNSNews.com, he called it a dramatic shift from the Iran policy under the Obama-Biden administration, which sent billions of dollars to Iran, helping it fund the missiles that are coming our way. He was on the air with Sean Hannity last night. Listen to what he had to say.
And if you look at Iran policy, I think you've seen a dramatic shift. Under Barack Obama, as you noted, the policy was appeasement. The policy under the disastrous Iranian nuclear deal under Obama was to give over $100 billion to Iran. They literally flew $1.7 billion in cash and unmarked bills on pallets in the dead of night into Iran. In a very real sense, the missiles that we saw fired on U.S. servicemen and women tonight were paid for by the billions that the Obama administration flooded the Ayatollah with. And if history teaches anything, it's don't give billions of dollars to people who hate you and want to kill you. And so let me say, the last 3 years, I've spent a lot of time with President Trump urging him to pull out of Obama's disastrous Iran deal. He did that. He took on his own State Department, his own Defense Department, and made the right decision there, urging the president to end the oil waivers. You know, we had waivers in place that was allowing Iran to sell 1 million barrels a day of oil. The president agreed and ended those waivers. And so the effects of the sanctions and the economic pressure, it's having a real effect. But we need to stand up to the Ayatollah Khamenei is a radical religious zealot. He hates America. He literally chants death to America, and he calls Israel the little Satan and America the great Satan. The way to deal with threats like that is not through weakness, but rather through strength. And I think we saw that in taking out Soleimani this past week.
Yeah, Senator Ted Cruz talking with Sean Hannity last evening on the Sean Hannity show. And folks, again, your tax dollars at work under the Obama administration to fund that which was fired upon us last evening. From WND.com, a senior general in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps says a killing of Qassem Soleimani will motivate Muslim youths around the world to pull Americans from embassies and military bases and hang them blindfolded from trees. The objective is still the elimination of Israel. Interesting story from WND.com, because we are seeing just a massive public relations campaign by the U.S. media to mourn the death of a terrorist. I mean, when you watch some of the main network TV channels, it's amazing to see the lengths that they are going through. But listen to this story from WND.com. An exiled Iranian activist and journalist is warning Americans watching media coverage of the reaction of the Iranian people to the death of General Qassem Soleimani. Don't take that what you're seeing at face value. Without doubt, Soleimani had support among hardliners and regime loyalists, wrote Masih Alinejad in an op-ed for the Washington Post. But she pointed to reports of the government forcing people to turn out to mourn Soleimani. And last November, thousands of Iranians had taken to the streets across the country to protest against the regime in the biggest challenge to the clerical rule in 40 years. Many of the mothers of those killed in 2009 and 2017 and 2019 are rejoicing about Soleimani's death, she said. How do I know? Because they've sent me videos of themselves speaking to the camera, dancing, even sharing cakes and sweets. They're giving gifts to one another. She noted media in the Islamic Republic is heavily controlled. Public gatherings are allowed only if they're a pro-regime. Critics are jailed or shot. She said, even I, living outside the country, have received a death threat on Iranian national TV for my coverage of Soleimani's killing. So it's not hard to use all the tools and resources of the state to stage a funeral procession. And of course, we talked yesterday about the vote with the members of parliament in Iraq. Is a certain faction of them yelling Allahu Akbar after voting to expel U.S. forces from the country. That means Allah is bigger. Allah is greater. That's the same thing that the prophets of Baal said on top of Mount Carmel against Elijah. And they cut themselves with knives and were dancing. We saw what happened there as Elijah called upon the Lord God Jehovah. But the shouts of Allahu Akbar. Also an interesting story, little told, but CNSNews.com has a story that Qassem Soleimani, commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the Quds Force, which was the United States designated as a terrorist organization, had prayed that he would die as a martyr. September 27, 2014, DefaPass.ir, a website affiliated with Iranian security circles, published a speech that Soleimani delivered in 2007 at a conference honoring the martyrs of the Iran-Iraq War. In the speech, Soleimani spoke in praise of jihad and steadfastness and said that Iran, which is guided by God, is undefeatable and unstoppable. I'm guessing, and I'm quoting here from the story from the Middle East Media Research Institute, my hunch is that he used the word Allah. He stressed that while praising martyrdom, that he himself yearned to gain the exalted status of a martyr, and added that jihad is the supreme value in war that allows Iranian fighters to compensate for their technological inferiority and lack of operational readiness and to defeat the enemy. He emphasized that absolute obedience to the regime of the rule of the jurisprudent was also a decisive factor in war. The jurisprudent is the supreme leader, who is Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. The Middle East Media Research Institute published this message from his speech where he prayed for martyrdom. Here's what he said. In light of the prestige earned by the martyrs, I pray to God for my own end to be martyrdom as well, and that he will not deny me this mighty blessing granted to outstanding individuals. On the front lines, that's referring to the Iran-Iraq war, on the eves of operations and under the most difficult conditions, I felt the divine backing and guiding me, and I entered the war's most difficult arenas with reliance on God. In essence, it can be deduced from Quranic verses, traditions, and hadiths that man is incapable of fully grasping how lofty the rank of the martyrs is. Sometimes a man turns to his friend and implores him, pray for me that I will be martyred. Usually we respond politely, no, may God bless you, keep you alive, and as you are necessary to us, but praying for martyrdom is a magnificent prayer, a magnificent prayer. That was Soleimani making his speech back in 2007. Crosstalk guest Sam Rohr said, without dispute, the world is in turmoil and on edge. President Trump's decision to stop what appears to have been final preparations by the world's greatest terrorist leader, General Soleimani, who happened to be the second most powerful man in Iran's hierarchy behind Ayatollah Khomeini himself, to initiate major terror attacks against Americans directly was a high-stakes and courageous yet appropriate move. Also, the Americans for Limited Government saying the president's decision to have a measured economic response to Iran's failed missile attack that resulted in no casualties shows his deep desire for peace. President Trump was right in taking out the single person most responsible for fomenting terrorism throughout the Middle East and indeed in much of the world. The Iranian regime knows with absolute certainty that when this president says he won't allow a nuclear Iran, that he means it, and the world is safer today than it was a week ago. The stories continue to unfold here across the nation, and I find it very interesting, and it's not just here in the U.S., but in Canada as well, where Toronto police threatened, Jihad Watch has the story, of Toronto police threatening a journalist, for calling Soleimani a terrorist. Well, folks, we've got congressional leaders that have re-embarked upon Washington, D.C. To talk about this issue. One calling for hearings now against President Trump for the decisive action that he took in this regard. And friends, we'd like to hear what you have to say. You've heard lots of talking heads on the issue. What is your reaction to what's unfolded over these past several days? Our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Oh, there's condemnation. Yeah, Colin, coming from Colin Kaepernick Expo. You know, the media guy for face of Nike. But folks, I believe that the pulse of this nation goes beyond a Colin Kaepernick. Let's hear what you have to say. The grassroots, people from all walks of life, from all corners of this country, our number to crosstalk, 800-733-9829. James 4:14 poses this thought, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pamela Geller had a very interesting article on her site pertaining to what she called the Iranian terrorist kingpin Qassem Soleimani's top 10 atrocities. And she lays out some of the atrocities of Soleimani, including being the one behind the 2005 bomb murder of Lebanon's president. The 1983, Soleimani was involved in the Beirut barracks bombing. His Quds force was the actual creator of Hezbollah. Mass killings of more American military targets. In 1996, Soleimani and his buddies sent in a truck bomb to blow up at the Khobar Towers. 20 mostly American troops killed. Nearly 500 were injured. Targeting of diplomatic compounds. He was went after American civilians, too. Twin bombings of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998, killing 224. Another 4,000 more were injured. Actual war on U.S. troops. Andrew McCarthy writes, our government estimates that he was responsible for the killing of more than 600 U.S. troops during the fighting in Iraq. Sadistic innovations in the war crime warfare killed at least 196 U.S. troops and wounded nearly 900 between 2005 and 2011. A high number of amputations throughout the war were the direct result of the weapons, and Soleimani responsible for that. The unprovoked rocket assaults on Israel, Soleimani certainly responsible for nearly all of them. Israel wanted to take him out, according to citations in the Jerusalem Post, but was halted by the Obama administration. Brutal attacks on democracy at home. On and on the list goes. And then also, tell you what, I'm going to give you opportunity to speak today, but you'll find that at PamelaGeller.com as she lists his top 10 atrocities. Let's go to the phone lines today here on Crosstalk. We're going to begin in Lake Mills. And Gerald, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
God bless, and I appreciate you taking my call. I've been listening to all this going on, and I'm proud. I am a Democrat, but I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. So I appreciate what Donald Trump has done for this country, and that's why I voted for him.
Gerald, thank you.
And I appreciate you listening to this for a minute here, because he did something which did protect this country and took on a terrorist. And we all know that Nancy Pelosi hates Donald Trump. We know that. Okay, I don't know why she would stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance when we're not allowed to say it in schools. You know, she says that on air, in House of the Commons. So I don't understand. I wish that people would just try to get back to the roots of this country and what it's about. You know, and we were founded on God's promises, and this what's going on right now is definitely biblical. So I think we just stand our ground as Christians and wait for the day to come.
Gerald, thank you for your call. Ricky is next in Adams, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to thank you for your station, Juan, and for the things that Trump has been doing. I think it's really good, and I think his speech was good to me. It was good, I thought. And then I got a question for you about all the Muslims that's been coming here. Earlier you was talking about how many Christians are starting to become Christians in Iran and how they're trying to get out. And I was just wanting to know about all of them that's got over here. I've heard about them building mosques, but I haven't heard about any of them building Muslim Christian churches. Do you know of any?
Well, that's an oxymoron to say a Muslim Christian church. There is that's a total oxymoron because the...
Well, you know what I mean. I mean churches that Muslims are in.
Well,
that way.
Yeah, indeed, Ricky. And matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed such a one right here on Crosstalk.
Well, I just do every day, but I missed one, so
yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Okay. As a matter of fact, Shahram Haidian, who's also been from Iran and a Muslim, has been interviewed several times here on the program as well. But indeed, there are those who have turned to Christ. We praise God for that and are in churches here across the land. Thank you for the call. Devin is calling from Spring Valley, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. It just seems to me that doesn't it look like the hatred for Trump has gone to the point where they've lost all common sense and logical thinking? I mean, it makes you really question where really is their allegiance, because it sure doesn't appear to be with America when these things sure appear to be for our protection and our benefit. So what are they? You just have to question their motive. I mean, in a sense, they seem to be reacting the same way that many of Soleimani's supporters and terrorist supporters are acting. And how, I mean, there's not much difference there. And as far as Canada, you know, scolding the press on calling him a terrorist, well, that makes me think maybe we need to be watching our northern border for illegal terrorists coming in as much as we do our south border.
Yeah.
But and in all of this, I guess it just reinforces the fact that we do not put our trust in men, but we put it in our Lord and Savior. And God bless all those out there who still have common sense and are following the Savior and the good sense He gave them.
Devin, thanks. Thank you for your call. Tri-Cities, Washington. Ron, you're on the air.
Well, hi. Jim, I think the truth will set us free, and I don't know if we're going to get much of the truth from the deep state. I think their object is to get Trump out of office. They'll do whatever they can to do it. I think they're trying to foment a war with Iran. I will do whatever they can to do it. And, of course, they blame Trump if there is a war and it goes badly. And that way, that would be one way they could defeat Donald Trump in the 2020 election. Let me read a little very briefly from an article by ZeroHedge.com. General Soleimani had arrived in Baghdad under a diplomatic passport Thursday night as part of an ongoing diplomatic efforts to mediate peace and an easing of tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And this came from the Iraqi caretaker prime minister, who's Abdul Mahdi, that we knew about it. We had enticed him there. We got him killed so that there'd be tensions and that would just escalate, and then there'd be a big war. And now there'd be a lot of Americans killed, a lot of finances drained. Our economy would tank, and they'd blame everything on Donald Trump. I don't trust the deep state at all. I don't know where you could get good information, because I think there's not very many good guys in the Middle East today. And that's all my comment.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go to Bonnie in Idaho. You're on the air. Emmett, Idaho.
Hi. I'm really grateful for your program, and I am so proud of our president. I have been praying for years that God would raise up leaders who would be willing to fight for our freedom and the liberties that so many people have lost their lives over. So I want to say that there's a Bible verse that says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Mm-hmm. And we can blame a lot of steps, but I think the NEA and the secular media has kept the American public so dumbed down. But now there is a lot of really good truth being put out on the airwaves and through Christian radio and Christian media and conservatives. And no matter what, we are winning this fight. And I'm really proud of our president to be willing to take the stand. He has sacrificed a lot to serve our country, and I'm really blessed and thankful. And I continue to pray for all of our leaders, especially him.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Our vice president.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Kay in Burke, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to say how proud I am of our president as well. And, you know, we have to have faith. We have faith in God, and we do have faith in our president. And even though he has went through a lot with the liberals, I know he's going to see us through this, and I'm so proud of him. So, yes, I'm so glad of what he did. So,
thank you for your comment, Kay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Richmond, Kentucky. Arthur, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Are you aware of Amir Safadi? He He's one conductors. Behold Israel does Israel updates all the time. I don't know if he's ever been on your show. He travels the world. This morning he was saying that Iran notified Iraq's leader, the Iraq leader notified the president, which he notified the army so they know to take cover. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media because they want to downplay Donald J. Trump, the best president we've ever had. But if you look at the video he put out this morning on Behold Israel, he explains it all. You can't get your news from mainstream media. They're fake. They're false. They're Democrats. It's got them the wrong way, brother.
Thank you, Arthur, for your comments here today. Let's go to Nakusa, Wisconsin next. We have Charles calling in from Nakusa. You're on the air.
See, I was just wondering, where can you ever find anything on the media, anything good about Trump? Or even a paper that you can read that has put the progress that's been made. And once in a while I hear people, you know, outside, you talk to them, they like them, some of them.
Yeah, Charles, Matt Staver, excuse me, Charles, Matt Staver at Liberty Council has put together such a paper.
I see. Mm-hmm. Liberty Council.
Yep, they've got it on their website.
Okay. Yeah, because I know a lot of Christian people on your station seem to like him, but and I think he's liked better than what I know, but it's hard to find anything positive about him.
Mainstream media will not go that way, but if you want to see a listing of his accomplishments, lc.org, that's Liberty Council, lc.org, and you'll be able to find him there. Thank you for the call. We're going to move on to John in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to Crosstalk almost every day through King of Kings radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But I've listened to these gentlemen, everybody that's called in today, and some things that you said about Obama, and President Trump is my president, and I'll stand with him till the end. But with everything that's said about Obama, Obama is a Muslim, and his name represents that. And with all this stuff going on, why can't Pelosi and some of them lifetime Democrats that need to go home anyway, things be brought up about him, about treason? Because he knew, and everybody else knew in his cabinet, that when he gave all them billions of dollars to Iran, exactly what Iran was going to do with it. Hmm. And that's got to be some treason there somewhere.
Okay, John, thank you for your comments on that issue. And I know that right now we've got a house that's more in... very much enamored with further investigations into President Trump here at this point. And you got some outlandish tweets going out saying that maybe he's making these decisions in order to protect his businesses. Thank you for the comment. We'll be back in a minute. Our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continue our series on the dangers of discourse, not the dangers of debate, not the dangers of conversation, but the danger of discourse or dialogue, where you seek to merge your values, your worldview, your convictions with that of a Islamist or Marxist. We learned, number one, that when you do this, you're embracing their language, like white privilege and white supremacy or racism, which are all loaded terms now. Number two, you're accepting their premise that there's something wrong with your position to start with. Number three, you are rejecting your own convictions and you're accepting their premise that there is not absolute truth. In other words, you're admitting their premise. By engaging the idea that you can have discourse or dialogue and merge your worldview and values with theirs, you're saying there is not absolute truth. You're agreeing that there is social Darwinian philosophies or ideas, that as society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. Don't do it.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Breitbart today is reporting that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi refused to immediately take a phone call from Vice President Mike Pence last night, notifying her that Iran had launched missile attacks against at least two U.S. military bases in Iraq. Her response, tell him I'll call him back, she said to an aide when handed her a note that the vice president was calling her during a meeting, opting to not immediately take the phone call as U.S. bases in Iraq were under attack and instead call the vice president back. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to say, who needs Tokyo Rose when you got the mainstream media and you got the anti-American Democrats? Where does aiding and abetting the enemy come in? There's actually a thing called the Insurrection Act where Trump would have the authority, if this really get out of hand here in America, where he could literally, I wouldn't want this to happen, but it might, where he could literally round up those that are aiding and abetting the enemy and have dealt in treason. He has the authority under the Insurrection Act, and they would be under a military tribunal. I'd hate to see that happen in America, but he does have the authority under that act, and we're kind of headed that way now. But I pray that God will intervene and this thing will smooth out. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for your call. Doug in Letcher, South Dakota, you're on the air. Hello, Doug.
I pray that God will intervene.
You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Doug, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hey. I'm just kind of curious, why is it that Adam Schiff and Pelosi are just so full of hate that they'd be willing to sell our country out? They're wanting to shut down all government funding to even military to try and stop Trump? What's the deal with that? Isn't that kind of shooting your foot?
Well, interesting thought. Thank you there, Doug. Let's go to Faith in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
I wanted to say that I think that the president did the wise and the right thing, and that we as Americans have to pray confusion to the wicked, like David did, and look at our candidates and our people who are in office. Are they patriots or are they traitors? And that if Americans can come together, I think wherever there's two witnesses, charges can be brought to these people who are in office that are not defending our Constitution, but actually trying to put it away and get other socialism, communism, Sharia law in. And so we as Christians, let us come together and pray confusion to the wicked, pray for continued wisdom and looking to the Lord for our president and vice president, and be out there talking to others and encouraging them to come together to bring charges against these congressmen that are definitely committing treason in our country. And I'm encouraging us to call the talk show host to talk about what is treason and how is it handled in our country, that we can maybe get this going in the right direction. Our government is of the people, for the people. We need to start getting involved and be active in prayer and fasting and supporting our president. When you look up what a traitor is in the Webster Dictionary, it says that it's anyone who belittles our country, anyone who goes against the leader of that country to bring them down for political reasons, anyone who gives aid and harboring to the enemy. There's congressmen and women who have done that, are doing it.
Faye, thank you so much. I'm going to have to interrupt you. I've got many calls and just a couple minutes left. Thank you for calling in your thoughts today. Brent in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Noon to you, sir. My wife said something that was very profound. She said, you are either a Democrat or you are an American. And with that, I think we should all understand that the people that are calling in are actually the silent majority, my friend. Not to worry. I think Mr. Trump, our president, as you know, I was in the Air Force in 59, and I would have been very pleased to salute my president, commander-in-chief. With Obama, I cringed every time I thought about him being the commander-in-chief. $1.8 billion sent over to Iran, and now they use it to shoot missiles off. goodness sakes, my friend. God bless us and God bless America. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for your call. Let's go to Francie in New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to say about Nancy Pelosi speaking against our president and his actions to defend our country. I think also, too, that these people who are speaking against our country should be charged with treason. And I think that you should put a device on Nancy Pelosi, like a lie detector, and every time she tells a lie, her nose grows.
Let's thank you, Francie, for your call. And Rich in Burlington, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a retired teacher, and I used to talk to my students about Iran and what happened in 1979. And my students were high school seniors and in a public school, and they had no idea that our embassy was taken over by the same regime that Soleimani is from. And the most interesting thing was the day of Ronald Reagan's inauguration, the people were released on that very day after being held for over a year.
Yeah.
And I think we have the same president in the same ilk as Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and certainly he spoke a message of a warning. He spoke a message of strength that he was not going to tolerate what had happened under the Carter administration. He was going to take decisive action. And you're right, on the very day of the inauguration, those hostages were released. They didn't want to deal with President Ronald Reagan, the actions that he was going to take.
That's right, and that speaks volumes about what our president did, and I appreciate what he did very much.
Rich, thank you for your call here today. Well, friends, keep in mind that the expressions that you shared today are at random from all across the country, so far different from so many of the talking heads that we get in many of the newscasts across the nation. But keep in mind that that you don't take anything at face value from what you're getting from liberal networks in these critical issues. I want to leave one other thought with you here today. We talk about being a nation of strength, but I'd like to leave with you a verse from Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, where it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Yes, we want to have a strong defense and a strong military here to defend our nation, but remember, our ultimate faith and trust is in God. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.